Hey, 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 this is Principal Co-host Sam. As some of you may have already heard, this season is the last season of Inner Hole Uprising. But turn that frown upside down and buckle up, because from now until the end of November, you're in store for the last dance, the final hoorah, our swan song, the last act, our farewell appearance, our famous last words, the culmination. And it's gonna be good, and we want you to be a part of it. So if you have special memories or moments of IHU that you'd like to share with us, drop us a line. It'll make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and we'll play them on our final episode. To share your thoughts, leave a voicemail to 404-491-9158. Again, that's 404-491-9158. That number will be in the show notes. Thanks for rocking with us for 10 seasons. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamish, non-binary-ish, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her.
And me, Rob, one non-binary, pansexual feminist.
Oh, you just like me for real?
No, I'm literally you. Pronouns, they, them, and daddy. Literally, Sam.
That is the only thing where we differ. Please don't call me daddy. I am no one's parent. All right. So every episode of the Inner Hole Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, or maybe not so occasionally, because it happened every week.
I'm saying.
These days, We hit you with interviews with insightful folks. And we're doing just that again on this episode. This episode, we're talking to a pro dom, an adult content creator, and a kink educator. The catch? They're all in a relationship with each other. Mm. What are the chances?
I mean,
what are the chances? Well, the chances are pretty high, because last week you would know that we spoke to them all about their relationship. And this week we're getting a little bit more into things like trauma-informed kink, adult content creation, Audre Lorde's usages of the erotic. Shout out to the Hunter College graduate. It's me, you, and Audre Lorde.
I'm saying the triad.
The other triad in like this world and the next, rigging and much more. So let's get into it. Who are our guests today?
Our guests today are Goddess Blaine, pronouns she, her, a queer intimacy and kink / BDSM educator, licensed massage therapist, avant-garde rope artist, and writer. She teaches locally in New York and virtually with her partners, creating educational safer places for Black Indigenous people of color, prioritizing their pleasure. Sir Sadistic, pronouns he, his, is a lifestyle dom and adult content creator whose work is rooted in his desire to create visibility and grounded education for Black and queer people interested in BDSM lifestyles. And Lotus Ropewolf. Why did I say wolf? What is going on?
You gotta fuck his name up every time. Apparently it's tradition now.
So. I messed up the country, not the name.
Bio in general.
Whatever. Love you. Lotus Ropewolf, pronouns he, him, Dominican. Did I fucking up again?
Dominican. Just let it roll off the
What
tongue.
Is wrong with Dominican. Me? I'm sorry. You're perfect. Okay. Oh, thank you. A Dominican rigger and a professional dom. His philosophy around kink is heavily influenced by Audre Lorde's essay, Uses of the Erotic. He believes in creating moments of intimacy that are positive and life-changing. Hi, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. It's been so long since we saw you.
Oh my God. Look, my hair changed. If you can't see, my hair's down. I'm Sir's twin.
Yes, exactly. So a little bit of background for this episode. We knew that we wanted to speak to you folks about the triad. But then we got your bios and we were like, oh, there's so much to dig into. Mm-hmm, and Rob was like, this is getting juicy. So I'm going to let you lead this one.
Oh, this is me?
Yeah. Oh, you shit. Produced this one.
I did produce this. All right, cool. Yeah. So should we just get at it like by person?
We're gonna
get at it by person. That way you can all get your infos out. So this is all for Goddess Blaine. Am I saying it right? Is it really just Goddess, or is it spelled Goddess and said Goddess?
Oh.
Okay. All right. I like it. Okay, Goddess. Yes. Pulling this all from your bio. So how has the survival aspect of sex work informed your way of making safe spaces?
It has been a ride being a sex worker, a Black femme sex worker in New York. I started as a survival sex worker as a emancipated teen And it was very evident that over the years there were just a lack of spaces for people like me, because sometimes in Black spaces you can only be Black, can't be queer. Like it'll be a Black cis het space, and that in it of itself is cool, but it can be a bummer when you're looking to be more open or find things that resonate with you in spaces. There were also just certain microaggressions that we get from the skin folk who ain't kin folk, that we like to be aware of when we're creating, whether they're virtual spaces or in-person ones. And comfort has always been the priority. As a Black femme, it is important for me to create spaces for other Black femmes because the scarcity there. And I want every space that I'm in to feel like home and to feel love. It feels good. Like I want to cry now, because it feels good when people just say thank you for opening it up. Thank you for assisting. Even in virtual spaces, my existence as a Black disabled woman in kink is a space. You know, when people come to my page, they can feel represented. They can feel like this content resonates with them, or they can talk to me about stuff. I never close my DMs because I really like to be there for folks. And the Black people I've met as Lotus and I have been educating together have been incredible, all age ranges, all backgrounds. And a testament to our reach is Sir, because, you know, his partner found us and was like, oh, I'm really into this thing. And being Black and doing bondage, like in and of itself, can come with some taboos. And Lotus and I are not afraid to talk about those things. And that is also a part of creating those safe spaces, like not being afraid to say, hey, I know this could look a little weird and it might feel a little weird while you're learning. And if you're feeling a rush of emotions as you are looking at this rope, and you've only seen rope used negatively in media and against our people and all of the adjacent emotions, events, and real things that have happened, we open the floor. And white people come to our classes too, and we never stop talking about what rope represents to us and how it is a reclamation. And that's when my love Lotus gets into uses of the erotic and how the erotic is power, and us existing in spaces together makes us more powerful.
Well, since we got into Audre Lorde, the introduction happened by itself. So this one is for Lotus. So Audre Lorde's essay, Uses of the Erotic, which came first, kink or the essay for you?
Kink. Kink came first. I was doing it. Funny enough, there's another essay by Audre Lorde that I have to actually dissect, where actually she didn't quite approve of kink. And we don't, when we look at our literary forefathers and foremothers, we have to also know that they are a product of their time. And that's another essay that I want to dig into at a later time. But Uses of the Erotic is my shit. And when I found it, it was at a very interesting point in my life. It was actually at a low point, and I was like super stressed, working through a lot of emotions. Had lost a family member that was dear to me, and I had this rope. I loved the stuff that I was doing in these classes and these virtual settings and spaces, and learning about it, and I started to really lean into that erotic space and that erotic way to release energy and to connect with people.
So I haven't read that essay. So could you give us like a brief synopsis of what it's about?
In the essay, Audre Lorde speaks from the perspective of, as she is a Black, queer woman of Caribbean descent and a feminist. And one of the most striking sections of the essay, she talks about the difference between pornography and the erotic. And that difference is a difference of feeling. And when you open yourself to that erotic sense of feeling that we have, that is the feeling of loving something so deeply and connecting with someone over that love and sharing that with someone, like you're going to want to live a life that embodies your deepest desires. And people are afraid of that yes within themselves. And being able to say yes and dig into those desires, this things that men in our culture, as Audre Lorde says, often look down on women for exploring the erotic if it's not serving a man or serving the patriarchy. And fuck that. Everything doesn't have to be this thing, and everything doesn't have to be this capitalistic thing either. Yeah, like that's like my connection for it. But it felt so real and made me feel so alive. I said, hey, I want to share this. And I started teaching. And little did I know that me teaching it would give me so much and so soon, really. And I didn't know that I would have an interesting approach to teaching it that made it feel a lot easier for people, because I grew up in the Caribbean in Dominica on a small farm on a house my father built with his own hands and managed every brick and bag of cement. And we had a farm and we grew our crops and we used rope to keep our animals together, to keep our plants growing straight, to create structures. I saw nothing wrong with it. And I figured if I want to use this as a tool for intimacy to show these things, it can be done. And I can have a life that embodies that, and I don't have to be ashamed of that. So these kinks, these things that we do, it's love. This content that we create, it's from love, because I love to watch my partners have sex. I love to watch my partners have amazing BDSM scenes. I love it. That's like a huge part of our compersion, and we have so many shared kinks together. We get to work in this capacity together, and we get to share our greatest strengths together, like sound production, marketing, all these other things that like on our day-to-day basis, as we're communicating with each other, creating a life that's sustainable. And we know that we are our greatest masterpiece, the three of us, as we love each other. It feels amazing to have a life that embodies the erotic. And I can look at anybody in my life dead in the face and be like, I'm happy. Like, and that's what the feeling I want everyone to have. And I try to give that in my rope. Like, that's kind of what I come from in my basis of teaching, but we do also teach like bedroom rope, because our BDSM includes sex. Like, we like our kink. A lot of people can have kink separate. We can do that, yes, but we're kinky people. We live a kinky lifestyle.
I gotta say, Lotus, you were kind of quiet in the last episode, but when you go off, it's bars.
I'm saying, man, be dropping fucking knowledge. Like, I have nothing to say except very important fucking things to say. Thank you so much. Yeah. So this next question is for Sir. So what is the difference between traditional versus trauma-informed versus risk-aware kink?
Everything we do kind of boils down to consent. You know, everything we do, not even just sexually, but of course, being that we all are in our respective work, are in our work together, are all sex adjacent or just sex workers in general. I've found, especially being someone with harder kinks, I've found that it is it's really important to talk to people about, one, what their limits are, right? Like, where are your boundaries with things? Not everybody's into everything. Not everybody has even heard of everything, right? And if I'm going to be the person to introduce you to this, then we kind of need to have like some lengthy conversation about like, okay, what's your experience with this thing? What are you feeling about it currently? Do you have any reasons why you haven't explored this thing yet? Do you have anything that maybe even just the thought of this thing or the action of this thing might trigger within you, right? Going through something like impact play. One thing that has often happened a lot is I've had women tell me that they don't mind getting hit with paddles. They don't mind getting hit with crops. They don't mind getting hit with a hand, but don't hit me with a belt. Because it reminds them of probably certain ass whoopings that they got as a child that they do not want to relive or even get anything close to in a feeling of. That's sort of what we're doing when we're talking about trauma-aware kink. We're talking about making sure that even within doing things consensually, we're also doing things in a way that we are not accidentally, inadvertently tripping over someone's triggers. We are not accidentally tap dancing on someone's trauma, because once you get into some of these harder kinks, and even not even just the harder kinks, everybody, we've all lived our lives however we've lived them, and different people have gone through different things. Not all of us have been able to be introduced to or enjoy sex in the safest of ways. You know, we've all had maybe certain situations that made us uncomfortable, that even possibly made you feel violated. It's once I realized that I was involving myself and I was engaging in kinks that were harder, it became really important to have very lengthy vetting processes and very lengthy conversations about, hey, what are you feeling about this? What's your experience with this? Do you really want to do this? Is this really something you want to do? I want to make sure that you're not doing this just for me, because, you know, sometimes when you meet someone and you're getting to know someone, sometimes we may want to put on a little something to impress them and to give them a thing that they enjoy, right? Like, oh, you enjoy this thing? Okay, I want to give you this thing. But if I can't enjoy it, then it's realistically, it's not going to be enjoyable for everyone. If everyone involved isn't able to comfortably and safely enjoy what we're doing, then we're kind of going to get into a space where it just becomes uncomfortable. And now we're wondering why we did this thing. And then sometimes it turns into something bigger than it had to be, because had we just talked ahead of time, we could have made sure that we had the conversations in place to understand maybe where the limit is, if we don't already know the limit. And in general, when engaging in kink, when engaging in bondage, when engaging in impact, no matter what your kink is, there are always ways to mitigate risk. There are always ways to keep everything safe, keep everything consensual, and keep everything within everybody's agreed upon boundaries. You know, when it comes to rope, right? I watch my boyfriend tie, because he's amazing, and it's just something I love watching. I love being tied by him. So I watch how he prepares any bottom that he works with. He makes sure that they're stretching, because if he's about to hog tie you or something, gotta make sure you're limber, gotta make sure you're flexible, gotta make sure, you know, your body is ready for this thing that's about to happen, because this isn't just your everyday intercourse. This is something that is often with kink, it's something that's pushing past the usual societal limits. So I don't really use the word traditional, so to speak, because I think everybody grows up differently. But in terms of, I think, what is societally accepted and in terms of what the majority are going through, I think people don't have enough conversations at multiple stages of talking to someone, vetting someone, whether it's for work, whether it's for play, whether it's just to explore. it's always a thing of making sure we have all the controls in place to keep this thing from getting out of hand. You know, when we're doing certain bondage, whether with rope or with tape, there's always shears around. Why? Because if this person, for whatever reason, is not feeling this thing anymore, we want to quickly and easily cut them out so we can take care of them, so we can give them the care they need, so we can listen to whatever they're feeling and continue to do that from start to finish.
My brain is severely expanding is what I was about to say. It's like literally about to explode.
Up next, more on kink and pleasure with the coolest thruple around town. But before that, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Whether you're single, in a couple, a thruple, or a whole ass polycule, we all got problems. We all got problems. But do you ever find yourself focusing on those problems? So much so that it drains all of your brain energy from looking for solutions? It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced in a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, it feels like such a weight off of your shoulders. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. I know with the help of my last therapist, I was able to solve problems that I was having in my friendships, in my career, and in my love life. And as I look to find a new therapist, I'm looking for help solving the kinds of problems that come with transitional life periods like the one that I'm in. It's really beneficial to have that kind of support in your life, especially during the tough times. And these be some tough-ass times. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey and switch therapists at any time. When you want a better problem solver, therapy can help get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/IHU today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, U as in uprising. All right, let's get back to the show.
So this next question is for Goddess Blaine. So in your bio, it said your profession is pleasure. So what does that look like for you?
As Lotus so eloquently said, our existence is us harnessing that power. And we embody the erotic in everything we do. Pleasure. I categorize pleasure as anything that brings me joy. Carbohydrates bring me joy.
Orgasms
bring me joy. dressing up brings me joy. I work for my partners, and I work as I can. I work as I need to, which is something that I'm grateful to have with both of my partners as caretakers, caretaking me. I am allowed to focus on projects with them and spearhead things that I am most passionate about. And since I primarily focus on our sex work and our sex work platforms, and they have their vanilla jobs as well as their sex work, I'm in charge of those things. So when I am putting things together for my partners, whether it's content or I'm helping them with something for their platforms or collaborations with others, I am always thinking of things that are pleasant to us. From the scent of the ropes, we love to treat our ropes with essential oils, things that make you go, we create custom playlists for people and we collaborate, just songs that made us think about them. As I do for others as I do for myself and as I do for my partners, I create them playlists every month of songs that make me think about them and kind of setting the mood for our month. And that brings me pleasure because we love music. And I am just constantly doing things for myself that appeal to all of my senses because even the stimulation of our sensory is pleasure. That in and of itself is pleasing and can be a real game changer as we are putting out media and ingesting media, as we're going from our day to day, being able to have my partners structure things for me, allow me to function and move and care for myself with a level of independence as a physically disabled person that brings me pleasure. And that's really it. Like being able to exist as a Black queer disabled femme who navigates chronic pain every day, and that being the worst of it. Like my pain is a thing that I feel every day, and yet I'm able to wake up and have a routine that makes me feel good. And to have a life that's also devoid of shame. I do not feel ashamed if I don't get work done. I don't feel ashamed if I find myself sleeping past a certain time, or if I'm not accomplishing as much as I can, because one of the things with chronic pain is it's chronic, and some days are harder than others. And I could have a 6-month span where I'm doing really well, and then 3 really bad weeks where I'm just in bed. And I find things, even just moisturizing my body, just gives me that extra boost to sustain myself. And I feel like it makes the good Lord proud, because sometimes existing is enough. And that is also something that I've learned just in the last 5 years, that me waking up, opening my eyes and thanking my body for doing it is me living a life that embodies pleasure. Because sometimes we can think that it's just a sexual thing. And a lot of these experiences can be very orgasmic, but overall, it's about that feeling of sustainable joy, a thing that I can control, a thing that I do for myself, do for my body. Even the things that I put in my body, taking my vitamins brings me pleasure because I know it's good for me. And I take those moments and I savor them. One of the things that we've learned together, Lotus and I especially, is slowing down. We were both very fast paced, very, very fast. We were going so fast. And when the pandemic happened and we locked down and we were together, everything slowed back down. We had to pick up the pace sometimes and slow the pace down. I'm just recovering from surgery in May. I had a tumor removed and my partners were there to help me. That was one of the times that we slowed down with our content because we found out that I had a lump in my breast. And I was like, hey, don't want to alarm you, but I felt a thing. And we had to undergo that entire process while the surge was kind of happening earlier this year. And slowing down and slowing our pace and taking inventory of how our bodies are feeling, how our mind is feeling, and also paying attention to the people around me. It's also added to my pleasure because it's added to my peace.
That's beautiful.
It is. Damn. Brain really swelling.
Don't give Rob too much. The brain's gonna explode. I gotta go sleep. No. I can't clean it all up.
No, you don't have sponges, Sam? Okay. So my last question is for all of you. So since these are like professions of yours, you know, teaching and sex work and bondage, how do you navigate the capitalistic aspect of monetizing your lifestyles?
Baby girl don't pull out her gimbal for free.
Well,
it's really important to have boundaries when you have decided to make these things that are very important to us in our personal life, like our kinks and our love for education and everything about sex and around sex. We all have a love for it. It is quite, as both my love said, it's quite literally how we live. We live in this pleasure. We live a life of the erotic. And it's important to understand that, one, we are Black, we are queer, and we are in these spaces that sometimes have been gatekept and sometimes just haven't had enough Black faces. And sometimes there's a lot of reasons why, but understanding that if we're going to do this thing, we're going to do it right, and we're going to get what we're worth. Baby, don't pull out her gimbal for free.
That also affords us the ability to balance in opening up parts of ourselves. Like, you know, obviously we work together, people see us together, and there are a lot of, you know, collaborations or even relationships that are more for platforms, more for work. And we take things in stride, and we are careful in our decision making and considerate of each other in our decision making, because this is our real life. We are invested. Sarah and I, we just celebrated our 1 year DS anniversary. We're still celebrating. So I'm here in Maryland right now, and I'll be back up in New York next month. But yeah, these are our real lives, and because it's our real life, we handle it with care, and we make sure that our platforms are setting realistic expectations. One thing I loved about Sir coming in, he had already set the expectation on his own platforms that he was a part-time content creator because he has a full-time job. And he has never wanted to put himself in a place where his content creation was his bread and butter. So he prioritizes his very real life vanilla job, and it affords us a certain level of comfort that we can decline things, as well as Lotus. Like my babies ain't nothing to sneeze at. I'm very, very grateful. Lotus is in urban planning, and his vanilla job also affords us the opportunities to decline things, to take our time with more things. We get to set our own deadlines so we don't feel like we're constantly just having to crank out content to meet a need, or even just meet a quota because we said we were going to post a certain amount of time. We set heavy boundaries. We stop working at a certain time. We are very diligent about communicating commitments, talking all the way through about what an opportunity presented to us stands to have us gain. We also, especially Lotus and I, we like to open up rope to the community. We sometimes have people come to our home and do safe for work photo shoots where they get to experience rope bondage, but with all their clothes on, smiles. This summer, I did bubbles. I had a bubble gun. Lotus tied some people who were able to come to us, and they got to experience rope bondage with us in a more safe for work setting. It was a little less sexy, but very warm. And then we hit them with the bubble gun, and then everybody just busts out laughing. And it was so great. I asked them if they would be down to do it with me. I said, I just want to open up to the community because I want to do stuff. And when the monkeypox surge happened, we shut some stuff down. But we're looking to work with some more people in the fall. And I'm still going to have my bubble gun, but things like that, I feel like there should just be opportunities for people. Like, of course, we can't serve everyone, but we try to do as much as we can for free. Because as much as I enjoyed being a full-time sex worker, it kind of hindered me from saying yes to shit I just really wanted to do because I had bills. And because my partners do take care of me, I'm able to bring them these ideas and say, hey, can I have budget or time or budget and time to do this thing? Because there have been a few people who have reached out to me locally who really love a rope experience, and I would love to facilitate that for them. And they'll come together. They help me to facilitate aftercare for people. If you come to my house, I got blow pops and ices on deck. we talk about things. We moisturize you after. It's an experience, and it feels good to let people in. We have never had a negative experience, and I can say that knowing that we attract people who are great. Mm-hmm. And I've never had fear because I trust our process. We vet, you know, one of us talks to somebody, and we take the time to see what people are looking to explore. If they're hesitant, we answer every question, because accessibility of kink and BDSM in the Black community is so important. And we're in Brooklyn, so like we're in the hub of it all. And because of Sir, we've been able to expand our reach and our education to the DMV area. But it's always good to take breaks and rest so people know, you know, they're a little offline for a bit. Sometimes we announce it, sometimes we don't. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful that most of our following are Black people. So, you know, when things are going on in the world and we shut things down, they understand. When things are going on in our bodies and we're closing down or we're limiting some forms of contact, they get it. And that level of care, like, I feel like we get that back every time we give it out. Mm-hmm. But we make sure that people know we're humans. So please, like, approach us with kindness and don't assume things.
Please.
Because one, we are ever growing together. So things change. But also, like, just don't assume no shit. Like, you know, people think that we're like a MFM relationship when technically we are not. Like, I don't gatekeep my partners, but you know, we try our best to just, we're introspective and we're nosy. We like to share, who are you talking to? What are they looking to do? And we're just always, always open. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel bad ever. Like, there were times when the work was harder. There were times when I felt like maybe we can't do this at the rate that we want to. But like the sprinkles that we needed was Sir, because he came in and he helped us balance the thing and build the thing, build our education, build this curriculum so that we can introduce more Black people to bondage, bondage for just the self-exploration. Lotus teaches a lot of self-tie classes. And also my passion, which is bondage for the bedroom, because I think that it can be really, really fun. It doesn't have to be as complicated. And it is something that people keep coming back to us for. So I'm going to assume that they like it. And, you know, we get questions. I've never had anybody ask us anything weird, which is nice. But we're going to be dropping more porn, so that's great. Folks have had questions, so I'm like, I'm going to give you what you're asking for. And even that, we have talked extensively about how often are we sharing? What are we sharing?
Yeah.
And this is actually our first podcast all together, so like, extra hype. Yes.
You guys got it.
exclusive.
This is our first time actually really talking in depth about how we met and the dynamics of our relationship, and we were so excited, even while we were getting ready, Sarah's kind of, where's the Zoom link? And I was just like, hold on, baby, breathe. And he's like, but we got to get there. And I was just like, there's always time to take care of each other, because it's the same thing I do if it were me and Lotus. This is the same thing I do when it is us teaching virtually and we're kind of frazzled. And I'm like, okay, let's take a second to breathe. And we just breathe together and we decompress together so that when we come, it feels good. It feels like us. Because I told him, I said, there is no reality where we get on this thing and you're not feeling 100% confident and it works. It's got to flow. We can wait for you. Because I already know that Lotus is there doing what Lotus do. And I was like, that's why there's three of us. And Sir said it before, like, when one of us is down, the two of us pick back up. And if there are two of us down, the one of us is going to try. And if the three of us are down, we're just going to smoke a blunt. And try again tomorrow.
Period. Yeah. Period. You know, we've declined things. We've made decisions. When I think about some of the things that we've done and like ideas that we've created together, like in one night, like, oh, yeah, we could do this. We could. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, wonderful. Crunch the numbers. Figured out ticket sales. Like, just like the things that we do is so fun and magical.
I have to do certain things because Sir and Lotus work so well together. They do back end and I get to focus more on the creative execution and marketing. And it allows our work to feel like home. It's been a blessing. It's been a stress reliever. And I love working with my man. Oh, my youngest calls them my mans.
I like it.
That's beautiful. I have nothing else to add.
No, I don't. Yeah. But one time for the one time, can we get each of your social medias where we can find you?
And anything else you want to plug, if you want the community to kind of like tap into your events and your mm-hmm. education, your porn.
Let's find you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am Goddess Blaine, GawdessBlane on Twitter, and I am The Goddess Blaine on Instagram. They wouldn't let me put the on Twitter, and I was sad. Mm-hmm. Sir is Sadistic Ways with a Z, SadisticWayz. Mm-hmm. And he is The Sadistic Ways on Instagram.
Because Instagram wouldn't let me just put Sadistic Ways. Somewhere.
Yes, they wouldn't let him put just Sadistic Ways.
There's another you.
Yes.
Someone. No, there isn't. Don't say that. There's Lotus. There's no other.
Lotus is Lotus_RopeWolf on both Instagram and Twitter. And we post our education every single month. We're actually working on launching our website where we will be housing our education. But right now we drop it month to month. We teach virtually so that our reach is broader. We love building these online communities. We've been doing it since 2020, since we kind of migrated away from in-person things. But every month, we have some self-tie classes coming this October, and we're going to be doing some introductory bondage tape classes in the wintertime. Sarah and I are going to be teaching very soon. So follow us on our socials. You'll get to see the porn. The penis that I referenced that was so pretty is it can be seen on Twitter.
It can be seen on Twitter. Maybe not for long. But you can still see it.
Get it while it's hot.
He wants to take it all away. Take it away.
If you would like to pay me to see the penis, OnlyFans, ManyVids, Fansly.com/SadisticWaysXXX.
Love it.
And we are always open to being someone's first rope experience as we can accommodate. So like questions, if you're looking for possible BDSM experiences in your city, we are always open to questions because there are quite a few really cool Black BDSM educators around the US, and we know some abroad who are also creating safe spaces. But Lotus and I are Brooklyn-based, and Sarah and I are Maryland-based.
You hear that? Brooklyn people, DMV people, tap in.
Tap in. We are tapping in.
I might have to tap in a little more.
I'm tapping in a little more too. Okay. I actually tapped in a little to get to do some bondage with Lotus and Goddess Blaine. However, I went to Florida and that just kind of fell apart. Gotcha. The monkeypox hit and life happened. But I will be tapping back in.
Same.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for giving us this exclusive two-part interview. Yes. We cannot be more grateful.
No, this was so amazing. I'm feeling so much love, and I learned so much. Like, seriously, I'm going to go home and text my boyfriend. Like, oh my God, all these things I need to tell you. I need to decompress because you guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was a pleasure to be here.